Father in heaven, you promise that you are the true shepherd of your sheep, and that if we will come under your governance, you will lead us beside still waters and in good pastures. And so we pray that you would help us to see your shepherdly rule and care clearly this afternoon, and grant us the will to act on what we hear. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please take up the Matthew's Gospel, the little gospel like this on your table. Turn to page 29. Page 29. These are words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 11. And you can see there sentence 28 and 29, just above the chapter break. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Simon.
Thank you for your welcome. Do keep that passage open on page 29, and there's an outline on the back of the sheet that you might find useful. Well, do you know what I mean by painting the fourth bridge? I looked it up on Wikipedia, which tells me that the fourth bridge is a railway bridge over the Firth of Forth in Scotland. It opened in 1890 and spans over 2.5 kilometres. It's so wide, it's said that as soon as they finish painting it, they have to start all over again. Painting the fourth bridge is a way of talking about the job that's never done. Well, what for you is the job that's never done? Well, for me, my goal in life is to have an empty inbox. Now, I work really hard to deal with my email, not just by deleting them, but by actually answering them. But I find that as soon as my unread items is down to zero, in the time that it takes me to make a cup of coffee, it's filled up again. But it's not just at work. At home, we have a serious issue in the garden with bindweed. Do you know what I mean by that? It's a vine. It's horrible. It gets everywhere. Now we knew that we had a problem. It was getting bad alongside our neighbour's fence. But she was away for 6 weeks, so we thought we'd leave it. Big mistake. We couldn't even see the fence. And it took two of us 2 hours to get rid of it. And a month later, it's back with a vengeance. And I'm asking the question, when will it ever stop? And that's why I love these words in Matthew's Gospel that William read to us. On page 29, they're spoken by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, but they speak directly to our experience of the daily grind in the 21st century. Verse 28 of Matthew 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Sounds wonderful. Rest. No more striving. No more stress. No more banging your head against a brick wall. But real, deep, lasting rest. Because all of us are looking for rest, one way or another. In the Bible, rest refers to a perfect state of affairs where everything is as it should be. Peace, harmony, wholeness, happiness. We really want that. But our experience is that that kind of rest is very difficult to find. And if we find it, it's impossible to hold on to. I felt that about the Olympics. 2 magical weeks where British people are smiling, they're happy, they're talking to strangers, London Transport is working perfectly, and Team GB, third in the medal table, third. But 2 weeks later, it's back to normal. Overhead line problems, grumpy commuters, negative press. It amazes me how quickly that happens. Now, of course, we have the Paralympics again, the Paralympics, so we can relive our Olympic dreams. But I have to tell you that the closing ceremony is on the 9th of September, and London 2012 will be over and out. I guess that's why we take photos. We know that those moments are exactly that, moments. And so we try to hold on to them by taking a photo. And that's why our photos are precious to us. And we're devastated if we lose them. Rest. We desperately want it. We look everywhere for it. We're so often disappointed. And on the rare occasions when we do find it, it slips through our fingers. And that's why I find these words of Jesus so helpful and hopeful in the daily grind. Well, what do they tell us? First, rest is possible. Come to me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest may be out of our reach, but it's not out of Jesus's. And that's because of who Jesus is. He is none other than the Creator God. That's who he claims to be. And that's who he proves himself to be. And if you were reading Matthew's Gospel up to this point, you would find Jesus doing remarkable things. He cures a man of leprosy. He calms a storm at sea. He restores sight to a blind man, and he raises a dead girl to life. Who else could do such good with such power than the Creator himself? Rest is possible. And we can be sure of that because we're told that when God had finished creating, he rested from all his work. Now, there are 2 reasons to rest. One is because you're tired and you need rest to carry on with life. That's why we need sleep and time off. But the other reason to rest is when something is finished, when there is nothing more to do. And that's the reason that God rested. Creation was finished. It was perfect. There was nothing more to do. And so God rested. Peace, harmony, wholeness, happiness. Now, we don't live in that perfect world that God made. Our experience is that something is deeply wrong. Nothing is as it should be. And so rest eludes us. And yet Jesus says rest is possible. It's possible. There is a way for everything to be right again. In our relationships with one another, with the world around us, and most importantly, with God. That's rest. And Jesus says rest is possible. But how? Well, that takes us to the next thing. Second, rest is a gift, not something we achieve. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, Sydney and I went to the Victoria and Albert Museum to see an exhibition by Thomas Heatherwick. And if that name rings a bell, it's because he's the designer of the Olympic cauldron. An amazing work of art and engineering that we've seen on the TV. And at the V&A, there's a model of it. There's a story behind it. And so we're queuing up, and I've got my credit card ready. And just as I'm about to pay, the guy does this. And he pushes two tickets across the counter. Free entry. How cool is that? Those tickets were a gift from the V&A, and we were delighted to accept them. But gifts are not always welcome, are they? Think of what happens when two families go out for a meal and one pays for the whole bill rather than going halves. The family that paid are full of their generosity. The family that were paid for feel humiliated, even if they couldn't afford it. You see, paying our way is deeply ingrained in us. But when it comes to Jesus, it's simply not an option. Rest is a gift, not something we achieve. Now, I have to tell you that I find that very difficult to accept. I mean, I can't quite believe that Jesus doesn't need my help to sort things out. I mean, surely I must have a contribution to make. You know, perhaps it's a joint venture, kind of 50-50. Jesus puts in 50%, I put in the other 50%. Or, okay, 80-20. Maybe it's 80% Jesus, and I make up the difference. But when someone gives you a gift, it's not 80% from them. It's 100% from them. That's what makes it a gift. And that's what Jesus offers, a gift, a free gift. And for good reason. Because we are in no position to help him when we are the source of the problem. If you don't believe me, think back to the last time when you had one of those perfect days. You may have a picture of it on your phone, or just a picture of it in your mind. One of those days when everything came together, everything went well. Can I ask you, how long did that feeling last? A week? 24 hours? Less. Here's a more personal question. Who was it that brought it to an end? Was it someone else? Yeah. We'd like to think so. Or was it you? For every perfect moment in my life, there are many, many more that I'd rather forget. And so often, the person who spoiled it was me. A single selfish act, that's all it takes. A single sentence, a cruel distortion of the truth. A single angry thought that started a chain reaction. And that perfect moment was gone. Rest has got to be a gift. There is no way that we can pull it off ourselves when we are the source of the problem. If we think we can, it just shows that we really have no idea what we're really like. The only way is if someone else were to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And that is exactly how it works. Third, rest comes by being connected to Jesus. You can't miss the personal pronouns in verse 28. Have a look. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If this is personal for us, it's personal for Jesus. And that really comes through in the language that he uses in verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Now, that's an agricultural picture that Jesus' hearers would have been familiar with. A yoke was a wooden frame joining two animals, usually oxen, for pulling heavy loads. The yoke joined them together like a harness, so that where one went, the other had to follow. Get the picture? Well, that's the kind of relationship that Jesus is offering. Now, it doesn't sound very inviting, does it? Actually, it sounds rather restrictive, being harnessed to someone. But that really depends on who you are harnessed to and why. So look up skydive.co.uk when you get back to the office, and you'll find something called tandem skydive. It's called the parachute made for two. No previous experience necessary. You will exit the aircraft from an altitude of 4,000 metres, securely strapped to your instructor, who will control the free fall element of your skydive and open your parachute at 1,500 metres. No prior experience is needed to taste the unparalleled thrill of one of the world's fastest growing sports. Anyone up for it? That's an example of being harnessed to someone. You are physically connected to your instructor. I guess you could say that it's very restrictive. But if you've never skydived before, your life depends on it. Now, you wouldn't want to be harnessed to a beginner. That would be a big mistake. But harnessed to an experienced instructor, your life is in safe hands. Well, it's the same with Jesus. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest comes from being connected to Jesus. Now, we live in an age where autonomy is highly prized. The freedom to do what I want, when I want, answerable to no one, our society says, is the greatest good. And so the opposite of being subject to someone, completely unacceptable. Think about marriage. No one wants to be married to a tyrant. A husband who dominates his wife, uses her, treats her harshly. That's not what marriage is meant to be. What a different story when a husband loves his wife, serves her, and puts her needs before his own. Rest comes from being connected to Jesus. Will we have to give up our autonomy? Yes, we will. But then it was our desire to run life our way without God that got us into this mess in the first place. But won't we lose out? Absolutely not. Because Jesus loves us. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart," he says, "and you will find rest for your souls." Now, the extent of Jesus' love for us becomes clear as we read on in Matthew's gospel, as Jesus heads to his death. The authorities want to get rid of him, and so they put him on trial, convict him on trumped-up charges, and nail him to a cross. But Jesus goes willingly, knowing that it is through his death that the sin of the world will be paid for once and for all. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. That's what he was achieving. And just before he died, do you remember what Jesus said? He said, "It is finished." There was nothing more to do. Rest comes from being connected to Jesus. He died in our place. Now he offers us his yoke. Will we accept it? Or will we carry on as we are, carrying our own burden, trying to run life, to sort out life on our own? That's the choice. Well, Jesus makes it so simple. Have a look at verse 28 one more time. He says, come to me. That's all anyone has to do. Come to Jesus. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage or have a mountaintop experience. You don't have to be interviewed to check whether you're the right kind of person. You don't have to put on your Sunday best or clean up your act. You don't need to be religious. You don't need to jump through any hoops at all. All Jesus says is, come to me. What an invitation. No one is excluded. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden. Because is there anyone here who is not weary of their sin and all their failed attempts to save themselves? Come to Jesus. That's all anyone has to do. Give up our autonomy. Come to him. And then verse 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. I find that such a relief. Jesus doesn't expect overnight results. I expect overnight results and I'm disappointed when I don't get them. But not Jesus. Learn from me. There's so much to learn. What matters to Jesus, what his priorities are, what his perspective is, what he says is important, what he thinks is unimportant. So much to learn. And there's so much to unlearn. That's the really hard part. Everything we've believed up till now, we're going to have to bring to Jesus. And if it doesn't fit with his way of thinking, throw it out. Come to me. Learn from me. And we never stop doing that. The times when I lose my way happen because I've, as it were, taken off the yoke, thinking I don't need it anymore. But this yoke isn't like stabilizers on a bike that I'll, you know, grow out of in a few years. It's a relationship that begins now and lasts for eternity. A relationship with my Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, that's enough from me. We're going to have a short break where there'll be coffee. And if you'd like to ask a question, then do scribble it down. They'll be gathered up and then William and I will try and answer them. But before that, let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that rest is possible because of who Jesus is and what he has done. Please forgive us for thinking that we can do it on our own. Please help each one of us to come to Jesus and learn from him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a few minutes for questions. We'll be certainly finished well before 10:02. So we've got a couple of good questions here. One of the nice things about this Thursday meeting is the chance to chuck in a few questions, and it's great to be able to... I'm glad to be the one asking them this time, Simon. So if I consider myself a Christian, yet I still feel heavy laden, what am I doing wrong? Why do I still feel like I don't have rest?
That's a great question, because that's how I feel. And that's why I thought I'd speak on this verse, because I thought it would be helpful. I really feel from where you're coming from. I guess the rest that Jesus is talking about has a now and a not yet, doesn't it? So there is a rest that we have now if we trust him. But it's not all that there is. And there is a rest that we are still looking forward to when... sin will be dealt with, the fallen world will be restored. So we're living in that gap, aren't we? There's something that we have, but it's still coming. And I suppose what can we do then? Jesus is with us, and we can cast our cares and our burdens on him. It's not that he's gone away and we won't have anything more to do with him until he returns. You know, we can speak to him every day. So I'm in your position, and I don't think you're doing anything wrong.
Thanks. I think that's a very, very helpful answer. Thank you, Simon, very much indeed. What does rest mean amidst the realities of everyday personnel and business life? That's personal and business life. It's a very similar question. So what does it actually look like?
I think what I'm learning slowly is where to look for rest. So I'm just very geared to the next milestone. You know, if there's a project that I'm working on, when that project delivers a piece of work, you know, when it's finished. And my experience is that there's this brief moment where it's done and we've finished. And I really look forward to that. And yet it disappears so quickly. And, you know, we've delivered on Friday and we come in on Monday and there's more work to do. So that moment of completion and everything as it should be, you know, it was just there so briefly. And I've found now, having been in the workplace for 13 years, that if I'm living for that brief moment of rest when we deliver on a project, I mean, it's just not going to sustain me. And I think that's why we need this perspective. And actually, the fact that our experience of life is incomplete is a helpful pointer to that there is a complete rest that we're looking forward to.
And when you come to Jesus, creator and sustainer of the universe, all the trials and difficulties as well, you realise that actually they are in his hands. I think that makes a huge difference as well, doesn't it? That actually I'm facing the trials and difficulties that he has delivered to me in his hands and in friendship and relationship with him, knowing that the end is clear.
Yes.
And he is actually in charge, even in the midst of the personal difficulties.
It might not feel like that at the time, but when that's happened to me, I think it's later on that I've looked back to see how he's been looking after me.
Yeah. Being able to cast your burdens on him is a huge thing. It's a huge thing. Well, Simon, thank you very, very much indeed for a really excellent lunchtime. Thank you for coming. I hope you'll be able to come again next week. Same time, same place. And next week we're going to be turning to life at work. I think I've rather naughtily entitled the series with the subtitle Get a Life, which you may or may not want to share with the people you invite. But Life at Work is the series title as we start to look at John's Gospel. Simon, thanks so much, and look forward to seeing you next week.